Please be seated, friends. Perhaps you're feeling somewhat confused that we would have a gospel according to Galatians. And of course, the piece that was read from Paul's letter to the Galatians is indeed the gospel, the good news that it is salvation by faith alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we moved some things this morning, and if you sort of went, hold on, that's not Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, and it's because we chose to use the New Testament reading in place of the gospel position this morning, even if what we heard was the gospel but not written by one of the gospel writers. Okay, I think there's probably a confusion that only Anglicans have, but But we are back looking at God's big picture, and Galatians takes us to the fact that God made this eternal covenant with Abraham that all people on the earth would be blessed, that this would be an eternal covenant. A covenant being a very important and powerful agreement. Let me just read this about that comes from the book that we are given, that from which we're taking our studies, Vaughan Roberts' book, God's Big Picture. And this is about covenants. Let me move this on. So, covenant is one of the most important concepts in the Bible. It's found in our names for the two parts of the scriptures, Old and New Testament. A testament is another word for covenant. So it could say the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The word appears very frequently, about nearly 300 times in the Old Testament and 33 times in the New Testament. And it refers to a solemn commitment. God commits himself to his people by making binding promises, promises that are binding on him, on God himself. Sometimes they are unilateral, that God promises to act unconditionally. Very often they are bilateral. I will and you will. God expects his people to make their own promises to obey him, to live according to him, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. In those days, covenants were sealed in blood, and of course the covenant under which we live is sealed in Jesus' blood, and are given as a sign that is designed to be a reminder of them. So the covenant itself reminds us that we are sealed in the blood of Christ and therefore connected to God in that way. So there are a number of covenants which you'll go, yes, I know about that. There's the one with Noah about the rainbow was a sign that never again would God destroy the earth in this way. This Abrahamic covenant that we hear this morning starts in Genesis 12 and is re-emphasized in Genesis 17. There was a covenant made with Moses, and then, of course, the new covenant under Jesus. While these are distinct covenants, each one has something particular to say. They are all bound together, and they are part of God's eternal plan to save the world through Jesus. So if you remember from what we've been doing, and if you have the outline, it looks like that, and you should have that before you, we know that God's big picture, God's plan, involves a pattern of the kingdom. And when we left last time, we were looking towards the promised kingdom. We've had the perfect kingdom, the perishing kingdom, and now the promised kingdom. A kingdom is God's people living in God's place, under God's rule and in God's blessing. So there's God's rule and God's grace. A people of God in the place God puts them, living under his rule and by his blessing. And so far, our story looks like that. Perfect kingdom and the fall. It was a miserable place to leave us last time, but we did hear of some of God's protective grace, that he put an angel of fire at the perfect place and said, you can't get back in there. I'm not having you eat of the tree of life and then have an eternal life separated from me. I want to keep you and protect you as you go out into the world so that I can save you. He had a plan for salvation. And so we're into God's eternal plan that we will be part of the promised kingdom. That is, people who are not of Israel, people not born as Jewish people, these people, most of us, will be part of God's eternal plan. But of course, we live in a part of the plan where there is light and darkness. We live in that broken world. And while God may not be responsible for evil, we learnt last time that that is a part of the rebellion in the angelic kingdom and Satan coming, Satan's power coming into the world, we know that God is sovereign even over Satan's power, and that God had a plan to restore the kingdom and to restore the relationship that we have with him and one another and with the creation. And that would come through Jesus as the end point, as the fulfillment. But it starts here, having had Noah, we now have the story of Abraham. And so in this darkness, this broken world, there is light. Sin, judgment, yes, but grace. God loves this world. God loves the people of this world and wants to bring his promise of grace to bear on that world. And so he has a promise of a saviour. Genesis 3:15, we hear of the promise of the Saviour, that one would come who would tread on the head of the serpent and crush it. And so we have the evidence of God's grace in the promise of a Saviour way back in Genesis 3. In the protection of Noah, you'll remember that Noah never again would God wipe out the world with a flood in that way. And so God acted in grace towards a person who just stood out as one who wanted to follow what the Lord said. And then we have this covenant that was given as a sign, committed and sealed in blood, that was made with Abraham. And the promises that we read this morning set the agenda for the rest of the Bible. It's the seed of the gospel that grows and matures throughout the Old Testament. So that as the disciples in the time of Jesus, and when those, the apostles in the times of Paul, looked back at the Old Testament, they could see that God's promise was building and building, and they were to anticipate the Messiah coming. And then to realise through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus. Jesus who died, made that ultimate sacrifice in blood, has fulfilled this covenant. So if we see that this promise in 12:1-3 is fulfilled in Jesus. In Genesis 12 we read that Abraham, you are to go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a great blessing. I will bless all those who curse you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed by you. So we're looking at this writing, which picks up that picture of the kingdom, that there'll be a people, a great nation. Abraham's name will be great, and it will affect all people on earth. It will be in a land that I will show you. And you, Abraham, will be a blessing. I will bless all people on earth through you. Now, Abraham receives this promise and what comes after when he's an old man, he's nearly 100. His wife's a similar age. They cannot have children, it would seem. They have never had children. They've tried adopting them. They've tried having it through the servant, who was obviously fertile. And yet God says, no, it's not going to be through your servant's children. It's going to be through you and your wife. And did Abraham know where this land was? Not at all. He's come down from far north in the Euphrates Valley, which is in Iraq, and he went walking with his family and his flocks, just walking, moving on, until he came to the promised land. But he hasn't got there yet in this promise. He didn't have a GPS. He wasn't able to put it in his phone, click directions, and take a, yep, know where we're going. He just had to every day get up and keep walking. And so he came south into what is now the Holy Land, the place that God had given his people to settle and to become God's people, the descendants of Abraham. In God's place, the promised land, under God's rule and God's blessing in that place. Now, after this, it is not all, what are we saying? Bread and roses, you know, something like that. It is not all smooth living. In fact, there are other people in that land when they get there. They actually have a great famine and have to go down to Egypt in order to be saved. The story of Joseph in the later parts of Genesis. Things happen that disrupt this great plan. But before that plan is at all seen by Abraham, all he knows, look at the grains of sand, you will have descendants as many of these. Count them if you can. Look at the stars, you will have descendants that are as uncountable as the stars. And they will be people who follow me. And Abraham said, I believe you. I believe. Abraham had never seen God. Abraham had heard God. But who is God anyway? The place where he came from had many gods. But through God's grace, a vision and understanding of this one true God came to him so that he could step out in faith. You know, the story has not changed. The story is still that we are made right with God by faith in God's grace. It's not what we do, but it's by what we say, yes, I believe it. As we say, yes, I believe it, we receive the Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. Abram believed God And God says, you are right with me. It's what counted as righteousness means. He was counted to be in a right relationship with God. And so God made this covenant with Abraham. I'm taking us to Genesis 15. There's a Bible in front of you. Feel free to pick it up and have a look. But Genesis 15 says, a vision came to Abram. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless. The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no offspring. And so a slave born into my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this person shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue will be your heir. God brought Abram outside and said, look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to. So shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. And Abram said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And then God gets him to take some animals and to divide them and to lay them out as a sacrifice. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. And the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, your offspring shall be aliens in a land that's not theirs, and you shall be slaves there, and you'll be oppressed for 400 years, but I will bring judgment on that nation, and the people shall come out with great possessions, and you shall go to your ancestors in peace, and they shall come back here for the fourth generation. And when the sun had gone down, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces of sacrifice. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land. God in his grace sends reassurance that these things will happen. God in his grace continues to speak to us in his Holy Spirit that his plans will work out. For many of us, we think, has God got a plan for us here in St. Martin's? Where is that priest that might lead us? Is that priest being disobedient somewhere? Not listening to the prompting? Does God not care about us? Does God just want us to keep on? Weak knees, bent backs, carrying burdens, having to dream up visions, having to step in and do even more? My friends, God has a plan for us. It's a plan that includes the whole world, that the whole world might know him. Mostly that'll be around here that most people would know him. And that through this time might God be raising us up and equipping us in ways we hadn't dreamed we could be. Is God giving us dreams that perhaps we before thought only the priest was supposed to have? We are indeed the priesthood of all believers. Might all of us as believers be able to continue to walk by faith, to know that this God's Holy Spirit walks with us, equips us. Next time we're going to look at the way in which God's kingdom becomes a partial kingdom. There's two sections on this. The first section is that they are God's people under God's rule and blessing, but they're not in the promised land. The next one is that they're in the land and they're God's people, but they're not living under God's rule, therefore not receiving God's blessing. So two components over the next couple of weeks to look at how the kingdom was partially established in the time following, more immediately following Abraham, and I'm talking about 400 or 500 years worth, as we head in to the next sections of this. But be encouraged. Let's pray. Gracious God, we seek for your encouragement. But we see this man, Abraham, the one you called, with whom you spoke, and yet, Lord, it was years he lived, not really seeing anything fulfilled very much, just lots of hard walking and hard living. Lord God, we thank you, though, that you spoke to him and at times gave him visions of the future. Lord, continue to keep in our minds and hearts the vision of this near future and the eternal future. May we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we live as people of the resurrection. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.